Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go through verses 17 through verse 34 this morning. Instead of reading them up front, I'm going to read them as I go. So I ask you to keep your Bibles open and follow along with me, won't you? When I was a little fella, I went to kindergarten. I passed. Yeah, I heard that. Barely. Mom told me that the first day I came home, she said, well, what was your favorite subjects? And I said, recess and lunch. Any amens? Still my favorite subjects. Lunch is an important subject. And we're going to be talking about dining today. We're going to be talking about eating. We're going to be talking about supper. Family mealtime is important. I hope that if you have missed that time together that you'll pull it back. Family mealtime has a very special it's a time that our hearts are just brought together in a way that other times it's just not. So I want you to know that it's not just because you're eating when you're together as a family, but it's because you connect. It's because you get to spend time together. And I think it's becoming a lost art, don't you? I think it's becoming a lost art because of our crazy schedules, for one thing. We can do something about that if we really want to. It's a lost art because of the television. It's a lost art because of fast food. But when you come together, does your family have rules and requirements about the meal? We have anybody in here under 12, or are they all in the back? Anybody under 12? All right, you're going to have to help them then. There we go. When you get ready for supper, what's one of the first things your mama tells you to do? What? Wash your hands. You do have requirements. At our house, you had to be dressed. I couldn't come in from the yard. You know, I would go out. I'd enjoy playing Tarzan. I know it's a Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I know you're going to more like my style, but I like to play Tarzan. Tarzan didn't wear a shirt. I had to put a shirt on to come to the table, right? Had to be dressed. If you were sweaty and dirty, you had to get cleaned up. Wash your hands. You have any other requirements coming to dinner? Anybody? No cell phones. What else? Is there anything that you do before you eat? Return thanks. You say a prayer. You thank God. As you can see, just like in your home, we've made preparations today for dinner, supper together today. And did you know that God has requirements for His supper? Hello? God has requirements for you to be ready to come to His table. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 reminds us of how to get ready. In verse 28, the scripture says, but let a man examine himself, and so then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let a man examine himself. Now, when it says a man, it means mankind. So let each of us examine ourselves. So let's look at this text from 17 all the way to the end there and make sure that we're ready before we take the Lord's Supper together this morning. Will you join me in that? First and foremost, in order for us to be ready for the Lord's Supper, we need to be saved to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 17. Paul wrote to the church, and he's fussing at them. He says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now when he says you, was there an individual that he was talking to? No. Was there a group he was talking to? Yes. What was the group? The church at Corinth. This is a book to the Corinthian church. So he wrote it to the Corinthian church. So when he says, I give these instructions to you, who's he talking to? The church. We know that to understand what Christ did, we must have come to a place that we have accepted what he's done. These instructions and this meal are specifically for God's family. You know, almost all the time in our home, the table is always open for somebody who's there, for anybody who might drop in, or anybody that the kids might have wanted to stop in. But there were times that we said, no, you can't invite your friends. This is family time. Well, folks, we are not saying that we want to exclude anyone because we feel like we're better, but what we're saying is sometimes you need to have family time. Folks, today is family time. We're going to come around the table, and at this meal, those who do not belong to Jesus Christ are asked not to join us because this is a faith meal. Second thing, we need to be united to be ready for this supper. Let me read to you from verses 18 and following. You have your Bible, keep it open there. Verse 18, he said, first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you, he said. So what's he saying here? First of all, verse 18 condemns the division in God's house. He said, get your hearts right. And get your hearts right not just with me, but get your hearts right with one another. He said, that's part of what this supper is about. You need to make sure that you're right with one another. Now, gentlemen, I may ask you, you know, is everything right? Oh, yeah, everything's great. You know, my friends are all right, getting along. I don't have anything against anybody. Are you right with your wife? Wives, are you right with your husbands? Are you right with your kids? Children? Of all ages, are you right with your parents? Jesus came to reunite us to God. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. He came to unite us and reunite us with God. But he also came to reunite us with one another. And he says, look, if you've got division in the house, don't come to supper thinking it's going to be all right. He's saying here, get things together. Have you ever shared a meal with a dysfunctional family? Oh, it's yours? Okay. Yeah, it's ours. All of us are dysfunctional in degrees. Amen, we are. You know why? Because we're sinful. Our Heavenly Father says, unite. You know what he's saying? Hey, no fussing at the table. Are we going to be right with one another before the Lord our God? We need to be focused to be ready for this meal, for this supper. Listen to verse 23 through 25. Verse 23 says, for I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in what? remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The reason we gather at this table, the reason that we gather at this table is to remember Jesus. To remember what he's done. His broken body. His shed blood. This is not the time to be focusing on a big meal for the stomach. This is a small meal for the heart. And we are supposed to be remembering the Lord Jesus. Verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22 and 33, pardon me. Both said, you've got your own homes to eat in. Go eat your dinner there. And he said, this meal is not about the stomach. Make sure it's about the heart. Focus. Focus. Next thing is, we need to be reverent in this meal to be ready. We need to be reverent to be ready for this meal. This is not a funeral service. I know there in a funeral service, we're reverent, we're somber. This is not a funeral service. You know what this is? It's a memorial service. How many times have I met with Christian families who said, Pastor, we don't want a funeral service for our lost friend, for our lost brother, for our lost mother, for our lost daddy, for our lost sister, for our lost brother. We don't want to have a funeral service. We want a memorial service. We want a celebration that they've gone home to be with Jesus. Many times I've heard that. Folks, this is a reason to remember that we're not having a funeral for the body of Jesus. We are having a memorial service to remember and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, yes, in a reverent way, that our Lord Jesus has won the victory for me. Has he won the victory for you? Then even in reverence, we celebrate. Amen? It's about to remember and to honor. To be reverent. We're told to be expectant. What? Expectant. To be ready for this dinner. Listen to verse 26. You have your Bible open. Look at it with me. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till when? Till he comes. There's a celebration part. Yes, if it doesn't break your heart, then your sin pushed the nail through Jesus' hands. If it doesn't break your heart that your sin beat him beyond recognition. If it does not break your heart that your sin put the nail through his feet and hung him on a cross until he suffocated in suffering. There's something wrong with us. But at the same time, we have to remember that it was because of that suffering that we can celebrate his coming. Because without his suffering, without his payment, without his giving, without his life-giving blood and his resurrection from the dead, when he came back, we wouldn't be saying, hooray! We'd be saying, oh no! Because when he comes back, we'll be reaching up and not dodging under a rock. We're to be expectant. This command is for us to keep remembering until he comes. Literally, he's saying that in the Lord's Supper, we're to be looking for his coming. Wouldn't it be awesome if during the time that we're remembering and we're remembering the broken body by the broken bread and we're remembering his shed blood by the fruit and the juice from the grape, if that during that time the building tops would just bust open and the clouds roll back and the trumpets sound and the Lord Jesus come back. Are you ready? You know, there were times in my life that I thought, not right now, but listen, I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the readier I become. And we all ought to be ready. I'm not saying that any of us are saying, oh, I'm ready to die, but I'm ready to go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're to remember. We're to be looking for the rapture. Somebody said, well, maybe that's not saying that you're looking for the rapture, but his second coming. Listen, when Jesus' second comes, okay, church is going to be gone. Are we really going to be looking for him? No, we're coming with him. We'll be gone. We'll be gone. The church is going to leave at the rapture. So we're not talking about down the road. We're talking about when he comes back. We're to be looking for his coming. And that's what this scripture tells us we're to do. How many people are in your home? You don't have to tell me out loud. How many people live in your home right now? So how many places do you set at supper? And when one is missing, don't you notice? Hello? Don't you notice? Listen, Brenda, if you set two places for us and I'm not there, would you notice? She says, yeah, you're too loud to miss. Don't we know when the Lord is missing? Maybe like the Jewish tradition of Passover, we need to set an extra plate at the table for the unseen guest, but the one that's totally felt. Amen. We're to be expectant. Heartfelt participation in the Lord's Supper is faith in action. It should be a reminder that we are looking for his coming, expecting and anticipating his return. So, dear friend, when you take the Lord's Supper, you do it until the Lord returns. And then another one. We need to be thoroughly ready. Listen to verse 27 and 29. He said, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and of the blood of Jesus Christ. That sounds pretty heavy. Listen to verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What is he saying? He's saying that if we're not prepared at the Lord's table, that we condemn ourselves. We should never, never, never take the Lord's Supper lightly. Folks, I'm going to tell you that's one reason that we don't take it real often. I'm just talking with Kevin up here a little earlier. We were talking about, man, I need to do it a little more often. Things get so busy, but we should never be too busy to stop and remember. Amen? But we also should not do it so often that we take it for granted. Because when we do this, we should never take it lightly. And don't take it lightly. Don't just say, oh, I'll take the Lord's Supper. Coming to the family table improperly is disrespectful to the family. And I'm going to guarantee you in my house, if we came to the table disrespectfully, my mama and my daddy would take care of business. Have you ever been sent away from the table? I was. Because I wasn't being respectful at the table. Would you like to be sent away from God's table? Not preparing for the Lord's Supper disrespects our Heavenly Father. That's why we don't invite unbelievers to this table. Because they don't understand. Because how could they? Honestly, how could they? Until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of their hearts and convicts them of their sin and calls them to be made right with Christ Jesus. And they make things right, literally right up to the moment. If we don't take care of that, the Bible says that we are eating and drinking condemnation to ourselves. If we allow that to happen, we're being disrespectful to God. And that's why we give the warning. Be ready. There's one more I want to share with you. We need to be inspected before we start. We need to be inspected to truly be ready. Listen to verse 28. But let a man examine himself. Didn't say we're supposed to be pointing the finger at each other. It says we're supposed to be pointing the finger at ourselves. We go look in the mirror and we say, are you right? You know, everybody looks at the mirror at least every now and then. Why? To see we got it all together. Don't we? The Bible says that we are to examine ourselves, not so that we can make sure that everybody else thinks we're up to snuff, but that God knows we are. Verse 28 says that we should examine ourselves spiritually. So friends, before we take this supper, we should see ourselves as God sees us. In His love, absolutely. But in His judgment of sin, absolutely. Because He says, if you will confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Make the necessary adjustments. Go to the mirror this morning. Go before God and say, God, where are the adjustments needed? What needs to be made right, God? My head, my heart. You want some good news? Take a deep breath. I'm about to give you some good news. Here's the good news. Getting ready for the Lord's Supper is but one sincere prayer away. And then you can celebrate even in the memorial. The Lord's Supper is to be prepared for. And friends, the good news is, one more time, being ready is one sincere prayer away. Will you pray with me? Dear friend, are you ready to take the Lord's Supper? Right now is the time for adjustments, right this moment. Would you look to the Lord God and would you ask Him to examine your heart? And when He brings something to your heart and mind, dear friend, do something with it. Don't ignore it. You ask God for forgiveness of sin. You ask God for obedience to His direction. You ask God to be made right with Him and right with others. And if there's someone here that you need to be made right with, do it right now. Before you come to this table, dear friends, we want to give you just a little quiet time this morning to speak to the Father, won't you? If you'd like to come to this altar and kneel and pray, you're welcome, but you can make an altar of the very seat you're in by just acknowledging the fact that you are in the throne room of God. Would you do business with the Lord? Even now. You may be reminded, just like at home, there are expectations to come to the table. Have you washed? God wants you to wash the heart. Are you dressed appropriately? Have you made preparations? Did you pray and give God thanks? Can you sit around the table in unity? I pray that every time you sit down to the dinner table again, anytime soon, that you're reminded of preparations. When you receive the bread, wait for the rest of the family. Hold it. It might be a great reminder of just how brittle it is. The body of Jesus was broken for us. Amen. Receive the bread and then wait for your family. Scripture tells us that on that night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. We know that it was unleavened bread. Why? It was the Passover. The Passover bread was unleavened, representing that there was no leaven, so no sin in that body. The body of Christ Jesus, with no sin, broken for you, nailed to a cross. In remembrance to our Lord Jesus Christ, would you take and eat? After he had given them the bread, the scripture says that Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is a new covenant." You know the difference in a covenant and a contract, right? A contract is made for somebody to break it, and it tells why or what happens if you break that contract, right? A covenant doesn't have that. Do you know why? Because it's made never to be broken. The blood of Christ Jesus was shed for you in a covenant that he said, if you will repent and come to me, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he lived without sin, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, that he's coming back to take you to heaven. And if you will place your faith and trust in him, he says, then I will cover your sin. In remembrance of the blood shed by our Lord Jesus Christ, take and drink. I'm going to ask that you keep the cup. Let it be a good reminder through the day. Amen. To be expectant.